You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So this morning was quite exciting for me personally because I found out there are wallabies in New Zealand.
And they big news in BFM.
Big news for me personally. This day is going to go down in history, but they are causing quite a stir amongst conservationists. So I got in touch with Kevin Hackwell, the Chief Conservation Advisor for Forest and Bird, and just began by asking him to generally comment on the wallaby population in New Zealand.
Yeah, we have two species of wallaby here in New Zealand. The Dama wallaby, which is found in the North Island, in the Bay of Plenty, centred around Lake Tarawera. They are a reasonably small wallaby, between 5 and 6 kilograms, but they do a lot of damage. And then we've got the Bennett's wallaby, which is a lot bigger, about 3 times the size. They can get up to 20 kilograms, which are based in the South Island, east coast of South Island, around Waimate and the Hunter Hills. And in the South Island, they occupy about 1.5 million hectares, and about in the North Island, it's about 500,000, but they are expanding, and that's the big problem. They're doing a lot of damage, and their populations are growing quickly and spreading, and they could become a really, really major pest if we don't manage them properly.
So is the ways in which they damage and threaten our native flora and fauna, is that sort of closely related to habitat loss?
It is. I mean, they're introduced browsers that are very effective. And if you go, I'll never forget the first time I was in the Rotorua area, and I realised with someone I was walking through a bit of forest said, bend down and have a look at things underneath. And I knelt down, and there was this layer about 0.5 metre high, just everything was completely stripped. And what it means is that the native bush where they're in, they like to live around the edges. They'll eat in the bush, but also go out to the grassland or whatever on the edges. And they just completely eat everything out. And so it's really bad news for the forest regenerating. And in the South Island, they're out there in the tussock grasslands, busy munching away, doing a huge amount of damage. So, yeah, it is the habitat destruction that they do what they eat. Their numbers can get very high, and they're a real, real problem.
So while this is an issue that I imagine you would be quite conscious of at Forest and Bird, do you feel as though there are many New Zealanders who remain fairly unaware of the severity of the situation at the moment?
Well, a lot of people would be unaware, because an issue in the Bay of Plenty, around Rotorua, etc., or you're down in the Waimate, in the Waikato, Waimate, the Waitaki River area there. Unless you're actually in those places and you're seeing the damage, you know, the fact is at the moment the wallabies aren't everywhere. But boy, they do a lot of damage where they are, and as I say, the problem is they're expanding very rapidly. And Landcare Research has done quite a bit of work on their populations and the expansion of their range, and there's no question that they could take over big chunks of both the North Island and the east coast of the South Island. The risk is enormous. It's one of those things that this is an invasive species we want to deal with now. And not, you know, it's expensive enough already. It'll be incredibly expensive to manage them in 10, 20 years' time when they've expanded even further and doing even more damage. So it's a matter of getting on top of it while we can. And the government has committed $27 million for wallaby eradication, which is really good. We're just really pleased that's happened. We've advocated for it for a while. And this is going to help not only the native forest, but also our farming communities. You know, the wallabies are a real pest for farmers, agriculture, horticulture, etc. So it's just really good. Let's nip it in the bud while we can. If we leave it any longer, it will be really, really bad news.
And would you be able to speak kind of maybe a bit more specifically on how you're planning on eradicating the wallaby population?
Well, a lot of it will be re-hunting.
Okay.
There are some people who, you know, already hunters do a good job, and the thing is that it will probably be a matter of encouraging recreational hunters, but also employing, and this is a chance to employ hunters professionally as well, so that the $27 million is part of the government's $1.1 billion that it's going to spend on pest and weed control in the next few years, and hoping to create 11,000 jobs doing that weed and pest control. And some of that money, so $27 million, will be dedicated to the wallabies, and a chunk of that will go to employing professional hunters.
And do you have a rough timeline regarding how long it may take to completely eradicate the population or eliminate the threat?
Yeah, it will take years, it really will. It's no question. I don't know the detail, which I'm sure that there's been worked out on at the moment. I don't know exactly the length of time, but it will take many years. And it's got to be done systematically. This is the thing. You can't just say to people, hey, just go out and just black the wallabies. All that happens is that you need to do an eradication or really effective control. You've got to manage it really carefully. You've got to obviously work to control the expansion, so that the edges first, so you restrict the population, don't have them spreading out. You've got to contain the spread, and then you've got to work your way back into the centre of the population, systematically doing it. Otherwise, if you just do it randomly or haphazardly, it's not going to work. We have hunters, recreational hunters at the moment, and some of the regional councils do a bit of work. That's all very well, but if you're going to really do the job, you've got to coordinate it properly and be very systematic about how you do it.
And in terms of public perception, do you feel as though perhaps the cute factor may impact how people perceive the threat that they pose?
It's always an issue, but I don't think it's too big an issue. The fact is that if you look at the damage they do, destruction of native habitat, and what they do to other, because of the destruction of habitat, what they do to other native species, for example, most New Zealanders understand that these things don't belong in New Zealand, and that we need to look after what is ours, what is uniquely ours. If we're going to have our forests survive, have the species in those forests survive, then we have to manage these introduced species that were brought into the country. We bought them because they were cute and cuddly, but they unfortunately do an awful lot of damage. And so, we've got to deal with that.
So in terms of the organisations out there that are working to save the wallaby population in New Zealand, how would you respond to their ethos?
Well, I don't know so much about organisations. You do have some individuals who quite rightly think probably the nice animals that look after them. And that's fine. If they want to have them on their property and manage them in very secure situations, that's cool. It's like, we have feral goats do a lot of damage, but people have, they farm goats. That's fine. If you farm them, you manage them properly. The same thing applies to the wallabies. So we're talking about, feral wild animals that are doing a huge amount of damage. And if people want to look after them and properly manage facilities on their property, fine, as long as they don't allow them to become wild. But the fact is, we have this pest, we need to deal with it. It's like the possums, they do a huge amount of damage. We bought them here, they don't belong, and we need to manage them. And that's the reality. And that people who say, we must look after them, yes, the thing is that they are a native Australian animal, but not a native New Zealand animal. And we need to mostly focus on looking after what are uniquely ours, our animals, our plants and forests. That's the thing we need to manage.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.